Then cometh Jesus to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, now Jacob's well. And to that same well came a Samaritan woman. She was discontented, involved in a religious system that gave her no hope. She lived a moral, bankrupt existence, having had five husbands and living with another one who was not. She was socially rejected, coming at an hour when others were not present. She was spiritually thirsty. Then Jesus came. Amen. And that changed everything.
Turn our Bibles to the book of James, James chapter 1. We are in our series here on the pressure points in the book of James, and this morning it is temptation. I have my notes from this morning on a easel back there at the communion table from the first sermon of this, and this is the second sermon of it. But this is on overpowering the pressures of temptation. Man, temptations come. Huh? Here I'm preaching on temptations, overpowering temptations, and I noticed this week there are some temptations I yielded to. And I'm sitting there going, me. Do we do it? Sometimes hourly. Temptations are things that we don't even know we're into them until we're about halfway into it, the temptation. We're being tempted. We're being tempted to have some negative thoughts, or we're tempted to have some lust, or we're tempted to get angry, or we're tempted to have pride. And we don't even know we're being tempted till about halfway into it. And sometimes we don't even know it till we've already yielded to it. And we go, man, as one part of prayer this morning, the slide says, well, God, here I am again. Here I am again. And does God like you to come to Him again and again and again? It's very important. Very important. Don't ever get wore out of thinking, man, I just prayed about this 10 minutes ago. Here, I got it again. And temptations. Winning. Overcoming temptations. Doug, come and read us in our scripture here this morning.
James chapter 1, we'll be starting in verses 12 through 15. I hope technology is the first time reading off of technology, so hopefully this goes well.
Where's your Bible?
Right here. I have multiple ones. I carry a whole stack right here. Okay. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
Amen.
Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Chapter 1, verse 13. It just says, let no man say when he is tempted. Either we take it ourselves or we try to do what? You know, when I was a young boy, you know, I always had my brother to blame it on. You know, my older brother, you know, he made me do it. He made me do it. So this one is when you're in the midst of temptation, don't blame God. God made me do it. Look what it says here. It says, I'm being tempted of God. Catch this phrase. For God, catch this, describes God, cannot be tempted with evil. God is not innocent to be waiting to be tested. God is not untested. You know, they're evil, wrong, anything like that has never entered the mind or heart of God. Think about that. That's what that verse says. He cannot be tempted with evil. There is nothing. He is perfect. He is holy, always pure. The Bible uses a word good. Do you know that word good is a very holy word in the Bible? You know, we make it in our day, well, I was pretty good. No, the word good in the Bible is perfect, is godlike. And God cannot be tempted. Aren't you glad you got a holy God? A perfect God. Only the perfect one could be our Savior. And that's. Then it says, neither tempteth he any man. He's not in the business of tempting. He does not do that. The Satan, the evil one, the devil, Lucifer, the serpent, that's the fallen one. He does the tempting. God does not. And that's very, very important to know that. Verse 13. Verse 14. Let's look at verse 14. In verse 14, we see that temptations come from within, originate from within us, in our heart and our mind. It says, but every man... Does it say every? And the word man here means man and woman. Okay, both. Every person is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Temptation comes from within. And it's there, and we're seeing that, and we need to realize that it's not from God, it's from within our hearts. And we need to know that. Don't blame God, blame yourself, blame the devil. One woman said, she had no teeth. She's probably from West Virginia. She had no teeth, and she says, when I see the devil on the other side, she says, I'm going to gum him to death, you know. She says, he calls me so much grief, and the temptation starts within us. We're drawn away. We're pulled away, and it's amazing that we know that, and wow. Look at verse 8, part A. It says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. So temptation acted upon is sin. Let me state this. I'm going to state this twice this morning. When you are tempted to have an evil thought or to have an angry thought or to lash out with somebody in your mouth, when you're tempted and you don't do it, it's victory. Now somebody say, yay! You know, I don't think we realize that enough. If you're tempted, if something happens and you're tempted to get angry and it starts in your feet and it's rising, you see, it's coming. And you don't let it rise too far. And you say, nope, I'm not going to get mad. God's going to do something good here. I'm not going to do that. You just got what? That's why God allowed you to be tempted. God does not allow you to be tempted so you fall. God allows you to be tempted so you what? Have victory. You only have victory after a battle. So you got to realize, man, I'm just being tempted something fiercely. But I didn't yield. And you say, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Catch that. I didn't respond. I didn't act upon it. It's victory. But when temptation is acted upon, it is sin. It is sin. It's just like the picture of a fish hook. Don't you, and when you're fishing, I saw my great-grandma do a lot of fishing growing up in West Virginia. And she would set out in a boat in a river and drown worms for 5 hours and never get a bite. And she would say to me, you want to go fishing? And I said, no. You know, I thought fishing is when you catch. And the fish hook is deceptive. You put that worm on there and you make it look real good. You hope it's sitting there going. So it's enticing and they bite at it and whoop, is that right? It got them. And that's what temptation acted upon is death. The word death there, we end up dying in hell for our sins. But it is something that is, it's misery and it's terrible. And you realize, wow, that needs not to be. We're drawn away of our own lust. We're tempted by ourselves. And then when we act upon that temptation, we sin. And it is something that we observe it, we desire it, we think it's profitable, we think it's pleasurable, we think it might be easy or you know wealthy or pleasure, but then it just bites us and we yield to it. We break union with God, communion with God, and we make it our own instead of resisting it. And temptation is first, it's not from God, it's from within us. Our nature, our sin nature. And then when we act upon it, it becomes sin. And then the last part here in 15b, and it says, when it is finished, you completed sin, you've done it full tilt, bringeth forth death. And this is sin's temptation, not repented of or made right, results in misery, guilt, regret, and hopelessness. That's terrible. I hope when you do sin, you feel terrible. Because then you do something about it. But do something about it. The quicker you get up when you get tempted and you don't sin, that's victory. When you get tempted and you do blast your mouth, you sin. But you don't have to stay there. You can quickly repent of it, make it right, and get victory. Is that right? God has provided down, back up. Down, back up. And temptation? No. Victory. Temptation? Fall. Repent. Do make it right. Back up. Victory. His plan is victory in every temptation. And he says, wow, if you let it just keep going and it goes for days, it goes for weeks, can you stay bitter for months, huh? Can you hold on to an issue, a hurt, for a long time? And I know there's some heavy hurts. I have heavy hurts. But I got to give them to God or I just let them pound on me. Or I can say, God, I'm going to forgive and I'm going to keep going. I'm going to grab your forgiveness and enjoy what you are doing in my life, and it's wonderful. That's our text there in James chapter 1. And I'm just going to give you some thoughts here on the tempter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. It talks about the tempter. If you want to go, I'm going to hit some of these passages pretty quick, and then we're going to come back to James. There is a vicious tempter. There is a vicious tempter. Does he ever stop tempting? Does he ever stop sending his demons to tempt us? He doesn't stop. It's going to continue till you die. I asked one man who was blind if he had problems with lust, and he said yes. You know, that's one man who was 90. Do you still have a problem with lust? And he said, yes. And so we have a vicious tempter. We had a vicious weather yesterday. I have some beautiful Mayflowers coming up in my front yard. I have no flowers that I plant. They all come up by themselves. I love them, love them. But they were up and looking real pretty. And I was looking at them this morning, snow all around them. It hailed yesterday and everything, and all of them are, you know, they did a number on the flowers. Yesterday's weather did a number, destroyed them. All of them were looking good. Now all of them are looking bad. And you realize, man, that's what the devil does. He brings destruction, and he's a vicious tempter. Do you know the Bible calls him a tempter? He's the tempter. That's his job. Does he do his job well? We have the devil, okay? Then we live in the devil's world right now. Is that right? He's the prince of the power of the air. He's winning right now. And he's taking a lot of people to hell with him. Is that true? Don't you hate to see that? They just self-destruct. You know, the worst ones and the drugs and all of that and the drinking and all of that. But they just self-destruct. But then if we're not careful, we can self-destruct too with just self-pity or bitterness. But he's in this world. So we got to go. We're swimming upstream. We're rowing upstream. Is that right? Don't let it weary you, because that it's his world. And then with our flesh, because of his sin in Adam, we have him on the inside of us. Is that right? In our flesh. So he's influencing everything from within, from without, and from his world. And so we're at war, and we have a vicious tempter, and don't you think it's going to be easy? You know, I can be preaching on this. I studied this all week, and yet temptations would rise, and I would give in to them before I even knew it, and I realized, man, that's so easy to sin. So easy to sin. It's not only here and out in our world, it's from within. And I didn't catch it till I already were there. And I'd say, God, forgive me. And it's amazing. There's some great points here. Let's all go to 1 Corinthians 10:13. Everybody go to 1 Corinthians 10:13. I want you to catch this verse. You know it. Most of you have memorized it. The second point here is he tempts each of us with the same temptations. He tempts each of us with the same temptations. There is no temptation taking you but such as what? Common to man. He's the tempter. I don't think he has God-like characters that he's all-knowing, all-seeing, all-present everywhere. No. Now, his demons can be a lot of places, but he is not God, all-omnipotent. He's not. He just knows the nature of man, and he tempts man all the same way, and the same way is from 1 John 2:16. Put the next one up there. And he tempts us three ways: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and what? The pride of life. Okay? He tempts us these three ways. Everybody. Does Hollywood know how to make you laugh? Does Hollywood know how to make man cry? Now, can they even play music and all of us are in the same mood? Is that right? And it's amazing. We are, our nature, our sinful nature is so predictable. And they got it down to a science. They know exactly how to play music behind their scene that adds to the emotion of their scene. And so Satan only tempts us the common. There's no special attacks on you that God says that. No, all of them are common to man. And he uses the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's enough. But I want you to know that he's just doing me. I just have to fall. No. He's a predictable warrior, and we need to rejoice in that and to realize this is just great to catch that. Put the next one up. The victory there. But God has a victory plan. The second part of 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as what? Common to man. Say it with me. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with it make a way of escape that ye may be able to have victory. He has a victory plan for each temptation we face. And that gives me just joy. That gives me so much joy. Put up the next one. I love this little statement here. I love this little statement. Every temptation is an opportunity to prove the devil wrong and to make Jesus smile. That's tremendous. Wow, this is terrible. I don't like this temptation. God's allowed it so I would get victory. And if I don't have temptations through the day, I'll never see Him come through in my life. Him come through with Bible verses in my head, bringing things to my remembrance, giving me strength as the Holy Spirit's supposed to do, giving me direction. It's not from me, it's from Him. And I got to see Him, so I got to be tested and tried with temptations and then about ready to fall, and then He picks me up. And you don't yield. Victory, victory. We should be shouting victory. We should be doing the victory dance 20, 30 times a day. I won't show you my victory dance. But we should be excited about, man, I just about sinned. I was getting angry and I stopped. I was starting to lust, but I didn't look that second time. I was getting to a place where I was having pity and worry, but I quit. A verse popped in my mind. Thank you, God. That's the joy there. He has a victory plan, and every opportunity, every temptation is an opportunity to prove the devil wrong and Jesus to smile. That is a great statement there to make that happen in our lives. There is a purpose for every temptation. You don't have to turn there. This is just in Matthew 4, verse 1. It just says, "And the Lord led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted." Was there a purpose for the Lord being tempted? If there's a purpose for Him being tempted, there is a purpose for every one of your temptations. Well, I don't like it. Neither do I. I hate it when my flesh is rising. But then I realize I need Jesus. I can't make it on myself. If I allow myself, I'll get mad 10, 20 times a day, have pity 40 times a day, just be discouraged all the time, start worrying, and just lash out at people, just let it fly. Is that right? But no, God's with me, and He's helping me. He has a plan for this temptation. He has a purpose in this temptation. It's an opportunity for me to get victory. And you say, that's wonderful. It's wonderful to catch that and you realize this is great stuff to have God moving in our lives, and we rejoice with that. Then we have a victory plan. I like the victory plan. God's got a victory plan, and it's very simple. You know this already. I'm going to remind you of it, but it's wonderful to have a victory plan because He wants us to win. Our victory plan in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, it just says, "Flee fornication." In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14, it says, "Flee idolatry." In 2 Timothy 2, 22, it says, "Flee youthful lust." Let's all turn to 2 Timothy 2, 22. Flee. This first one is flee. Run. You know, exit stage left. Put it in reverse. Change directions. Leave. Get away from. Don't go that direction. Is that right? Run. Run to God. Run away from evil. There are some sins that you, our second, don't put it up here. Our second one is resist. Our last one is stand. Okay? There are some sins, the only answer is flee. The sin that does so easily beset you is flee. You can't even get close to it. You can't. Some other people might be closer to it, but that just grips you badly and you go down. Is that right? There are some sins that, man, every time I'm faced with that, I just go to the bottom. Those are the ones you flee. Those are the ones you stay away from. Those are the places you don't even go. If you're tempted to drink, you never go to the bar, the bars. You don't never go to the areas in the store where they sell it. You don't even walk down that aisle. Okay, that aisle is not for you, and you can't even get close to it. You don't want to even be around it. Is that right? If somebody's around you, it's all there. Sometimes you got to get up and go. Is that right? There are some sins that the only answer to this sin is to run. God, I'm weak in this area. I got to get out of here. Whatever it is, you need to know that if you have a sin that you fall to a lot, and you're trying to pray your way through it, and you're trying to read your Bible through it and all of that, and you can't resist it, that's the resist step. The first step here is the ones that you just got to run. You got to get away from it physically. You can't even get close to it. If that's the store where you buy stuff that's wrong, you can't go to that store anymore. Maybe somebody else can. Is that right? If that person just tempts you so bad and you can't be around that person, you need to stay away from that person. And you need to say, I can't do that. Other people can. They're not tempted in that area, but I can't. And you need to know that I can't read that book or I can't watch that movie. Is that right? I can't. Why? What's wrong? Well, it just leads me down a path that's bad. I can't be that person. They talk the way they talk, and then they get me griping, complaining. I just got to stay away from them. You just got to know, flee, run. If you have a sin that's really pouncing on you, flee, run. And that is so, so important that we catch that in the temptations here to catch that. I like this next one. Put it up. When fleeing. I like this one. Read this one. When fleeing the scene of temptation, do not leave a forwarding address. I like that. I like that. Don't. He'll come and get you. The second step here of victory is resist. Is resist. In 2 Timothy 2:22, it says, resist him. It says, flee youthful lust. Flee youthful lust. And then it says, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. That has it all. The transition from flee to resist, to follow God. In James 4:7-8, that's printed right here, says resist the devil and he will flee from you. And it's so important that we grasp that and realize that it's terrible what's happening here. And we got to catch God and say, God, help me to catch this. Temptation. Put the next one up. I love this one. It says this. I want you to look at this one a while. Every moment of resisting or of resistance to temptation is a victory. If you resist the first and second temptation to do something, you just had two victories. If you give in to it the third time, you still had two victories. So many times we count our failures. Well, boom, boom, there's one, two, three, four. You know, I sin 14 times today. I want you to go back. I want you to know you realize you sinned 14 times, but you got up 16 times. And you stayed up longer than you were down. And you need to count your victories. Every moment, catch that, not just every temptation, but every moment of resistance to a temptation is a victory. That's a great promise from God. And I just love that. When I saw that, I said, man, that is real. And if I'm going to count my victories, that can keep me up much longer. And then when I go down, I got to get back up quicker, because that is so, so important to note. I know to do that. In our text here in James chapter 4, everybody turn to James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. James chapter 4. These are the two texts in James here. James 1 and then James 4, 7 and 8. The first word in James 4, verse 7 is what? Submit. Submit. Submit to God. Follow Him. Give everything to Him. Get your mind on Him. That's the first step of resistance. Say, God, help me today. I'm giving You my life. I don't want to mess it up today. You help me, and I'm going to follow You, and I am going to follow after righteousness, faith, charity, 2 Timothy 2:22, peace with all. with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Lord, just help me. I'm yours. I'm yielding to you. You do that. That's the first step of yieldingness. When sin hits you, you say, nope, I'm not going to do that because I'm God's. And I'm going to submit my thoughts and my mind to God. Submit, therefore, yourselves to God. Okay? Resist the devil. First step. And he will flee from you. Draw nigh to him, and he will draw nigh to you. Those are the steps. That's submitting. I'm yours, God. I'm going to stay close to you. And then we slip away, and we got to submit back. Is that right? We're doing this. And when the temptation comes, we just get back right back in the Word of God. The temptation wins. We don't have to flee this one. We resist. And your first step of resistance is submit. The second step of resistance is to cleanse our hands. Cleanse your hands. Wash your hands. Wash your hands, you sinners. You got to say, God, forgive me. Is that right? God, forgive me. And you slip away from God and you sin. And you resist by confessing your sins, making it right with God and man, and submitting back to God. Cleanse your hands. Cleanse your hands. The third step here, this third step is to purify your heart. To purify your heart and to realize that it is wonderful to have a pure heart and to say, God, help me with this. And you're saying, God, I need your strength. I need your help in all of this. God, you lead in my life to purify your heart and to say, God, help me. This is watching and praying. In Matthew 26:41, it says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Mark 14, the sequel passage 38, it says, watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. To have a pure heart, resisting is submitting, cleansing, and then praying. That's how you resist. You watch and pray. You're watching. You're carefully looking where you go and what you see, and diligently about what you avoid. And praying is asking God for supernatural help. And you say, God, help me. And God can help me. And so it's beautiful to catch that and realize, wow, I'm going to resist. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Every moment of resistance to temptation is victory from God. And you say, Lord, here I am again. Here I am in prayer. You know, God, it's me again. Is that all right? That's all right. Because temptation comes, we need to flee from those that are so easy. We have no strength there. I'll sin every time. I got to stay away totally. And then I got to resist. These are coming, and I just remind myself I'm submitted to God. I don't have to do that sin. And once I've sinned, I confess that sin real quickly and get back to submitting to God. And then if I need some more help, I pray, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me. And he will help you. And that's the resist part, because it's all connected with the Word of God. Psalm 119, some verses here. Look at it there. Psalm 119, with our stand, we have that. Put up stand here. To stand. We flee, we resist, and we stand on, in, and only by God's holy Word. We all know that. We all know that. That it's all Him. And we must stand with Him and say, God, I'm with you. Help me in all of this. Ephesians 6:11, it says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we must do that. To stand. And that's where it's needed. Where we're fleeing, we resist, and then when temptations come, we just stand. It doesn't, boom, is that right? Boom, just falls right off of us. We've been reading the Bible. That's why you got to consume yourself with the Word of God every morning, every day, and you realize, wow, I can stand. I can stand with Him. And I can avoid all temptations. And it's wonderful. It says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Don't open the door. Will it knock? Yeah, don't open the door. Don't get close. Stay away. Avoid. flee, resist, stand upon the word of God. Psalm 119, it says this. Psalm 119's got a bunch of good verses. It says, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Huh? Stand. Stand. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. When temptations come, stand. If you're, boy, I resist, cleanse, submit. And when they're really bad, flee. It's so important that we catch that and we claim the victory. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, it says, O thou man of God, flee. That's our first one. Resist these things and stand. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. We got to cry out for victory. We got to claim victory. And we got to count victory. And this is the way we do it. I want some victory this week. I want you to experience victory this week. And saying, God, I that area of my life, is I'm weak. I can't even get close to it. I can't even watch that. I can't even read that. I can't even look in that direction. I can't even go in that direction. You just totally flee, run. And then there's some that you're just every day that you're resisting. And you do well in these areas. And you submit. And you don't sin. And then when you do sin, you clean up, you repent, and claim back the victory. And then there's times of great prayer, the heart, pure heart. God, help me, and He helps you. And then we stand. We just stand on the Word of God, saturated by the Word of God, full of the Word of God, so that when the temptations come, we have something to resist with. It's wonderful. Victory plan. There's victory in Jesus. Is that right? And it's so important that we grasp that and we just say here, submit, read it with me, James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Read it. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Do you believe that? That's the way. Patrick, come and lead us in our song. There is victory, victory, victory in Jesus.
Let's stand together, hymn 496. We're going to start with the chorus.
Some areas you need to flee. Some areas you need to resist. Some areas you need to stand. Claiming, counting, crying out for victory. I want you to have some victory this week. There's some issues in your life you need victory over. Preacher, pray for me. I have some issues. I just need to get some victory in these areas. And I'm going to take these principles of flee, resist, and stand. And we're going to get some victory this week. God and I is going to get some victory. Can I pray with you? Can I pray with you? Can I pray with you? Raise your hand. Can I pray with you? Amen. My hand's up. Pray with you. You're here this morning, you don't know Jesus. How can you have victory? You're not sure you're saved. I did not talk about that this morning. I talked about victory. That's when you got Jesus, so you can have victory and have strength and have coming back from falling down. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Not sure of heaven. Pray for me. I'd like to have a life of victory, and I don't have that at all. I don't have a relationship, a following, a fellowship with Jesus as my Savior. Pray for me. Every head's bowed, every eye closed, just you, me, and God. Can I pray for you? I will not embarrass you. Just pray for you. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Can I pray for you? Anybody? Just raise your hand. I pray for you. Jesus, give victory to my people this week in those areas that the devil attacks them in. Help them to claim that moment by moment. Lord, we might fall 20 times a day, but we stayed up 25 times and we stayed up longer and we had a victorious day. Lord, help us to count and claim and cry out for victories. And help us not just to dwell upon, I sinned here. No, if you sinned and you responded in repentance and making it right, you got victory. Lord, help us to count even the smallest of victory every day, because you are giving them to us all the time. And there's not a reason for. The only reason God allows Satan to tempt us is to give us opportunities to claim victory, to make Satan prove him wrong and make Jesus smile that they're my kids. Watch them. Lord, give us victory. Victory in Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen.